This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
I'm Janice Dean.
I'm Jason Chaffetz.
I'm Harris Faulkner. And this is the Fox News Rundown.
Friday, December 23rd, 2022. I'm Trey Inks. Protests continue across Iran as the regime in Tehran cracks down.
Their acts of bravery are so incredible. We've seen it in the World Cup recently. We've seen it with other celebrities, politicians all around the world. But it's just the beginning, and there's a long, long way until they will reach their freedom.
This is the Fox News Rundown, Evening Edition.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
As anti-government demonstrations continue across Iran, the Islamic Republic put to death another person linked to the protests. The execution drew international condemnation in what analysts have called a sham judicial process aimed at stoking fear in the public. Clashes that began in September have left nearly 500 people dead and thousands more injured. An estimated 15,000 civilians have been imprisoned amid a government-led crackdown to silence those calling for regime change.
Just this week, a second person was executed. Some human rights organizations are saying that up to 39 people more are on the list for execution.
For more on this story, this is Yonat Freeling, a senior Fox News field producer.
We're talking about unbelievable numbers, more than 500 people killed. Almost 70 of them are children. The youngest one I've seen on reports is 2 years old. I've seen 6 years old and 7 years old. Among them, there are 66 people who were killed from the regime forces. And we're talking almost 20,000 people who have been detained. 61 journalists, and again, because this is the revolution or the demonstration or the voice of the young people, we see a lot of people who are influencers, musicians, actors, journalists, and while they are the besieged and the other Iranian forces are targeting women, the majority of the people who have been killed are men, but they are young men, probably brothers, friends of who came to support their female friends for protesting, maybe making sure that they will be okay, protecting them with their bodies. So it's not only the voice of the women and the teenagers in Iran and abroad, but that's one of the most significant things about it, is that it's going across genders, across areas. We've seen demonstration in rural areas, in the cities. Everywhere you see people who are wealthy, poor people, and so on and so on. So it is something that is significant. There was one study that was done in the past year in Iran by the Blair Institution, and it says that more than 74% of the women oppose the hijab enforcing, and most of Iranians basically seek a more free, less religious way of ruling. The revolution in Iran is based mostly on the very, very strict rules of Quran, and that's exactly what they want to change.
These are laws being enforced by Iran's supreme leader, the Ayatollah Khamenei, and Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi, but as you've noted, don't represent the desires of most of the Iranian people. what we've seen so far has been a situation where the civilian population in Iran is so desperate to get this information out because Iran is not a country where journalists can freely enter and report on what's taking place. People from around the world can't go to Iran safely and gather images and gather the voices of these demonstrators. And so we've seen this on social media where civilians are taking to Instagram and to Twitter and tagging Western journalists and those who are paying attention to what's happening, basically begging for some coverage because it is so significant and it's really taking place in a vacuum. Moving forward, I mean, how can the world cover this story from afar?
They should reach out. We should reach out to people. And you talked about the fact that there's no access, but there's no access from within Iran to the outside world. The young people are risking their life in coming up with VPNs, other connections, has since the first day the Iranian regime has blocked the internet access, blocking social media sites and all kinds of other apps that are communicated. There is the Masa Amini hashtag, and it's one of the most popular ones right now. And if anyone would like to follow this, he or she should look into this. But we should also be very grateful for the bravery of these people who are using their friends and their family who have living abroad, who are trying to smuggle any kind of information outside. You can follow Iranian Exiles humanitarian websites, Twitter accounts, Facebook. Just Google it, educate yourself, and find a way to help. Everything, every little bit counts. The bravery of and their acts of bravery are so incredible. We've seen it in the World Cup recently. We've seen it, as you mentioned, with other celebrities, politicians all around the world. But it's just the beginning, and there's a long, long way until they will reach their freedom.
You've been listening to Yonat Freeling, a senior Fox News field producer. We'll be right back.
What sort of pressure do these demonstrations put on the Islamic Republic? And I don't say on Iran or true Iranian leadership, because these leaders do not represent Iran. They don't represent the Iranian people. And so when you see this level of demonstration against a regime that has been so brutal to its people, what does it signify and what does it mean in terms of the pressure that these leaders are facing?
We sense the pressure on the Iranian regime, one, because they are occupied with this protest. They're sending out their own security forces. They have lost security forces, the people who have been dead. They're using even live ammunition against the protesters. So when every country, even democratic country, this amount of masses of people going out to the street put some sort of a pressure on the leaders. We have to remember that the Iranian government is not only dealing with this protest, but also with economic sanctions that are piling up as the United States, the UK, the EU, and the rest of the Western world adding more and more sanctions on its leaders because of the protest and making them it harder for them. Most of the sanctions are economic, but there are also restrictions of movement and so on. And we have the standstill in the nuclear agreement negotiation that was stopped back in September and is no longer on the table. So all the things that maybe the Iranian regime hoped for them to change because of new developments in the nuclear agreement negotiation and maybe easing up the sanction, it's getting even harder and harder. Another thing that we've seen in this past 90 days that a lot of civilian hackers has broke into Iranian government sites, publishing information, documents that weren't really very flattering to the Iranian regime, exposing secrets and so on. And we've seen them also trying to help, along with their friends from around the world, trying to bypass the internet lockdown and granting more access to the people of Iran to share their story.
This year has been really a roller coaster of emotion for those following the Iran nuclear deal and the possibility of it being revived. Initially, it appeared that these meetings in Vienna would lead to some sort of fresh agreement. But the agreement itself no longer exists in the form that it did back when it was signed under the Obama administration. And right now, it just appears that all negotiations have stopped. Where do things stand with efforts to revive the Iran nuclear deal?
Just 2 days ago, National Security Advisors said that they're willing to reconsider going back to the negotiation. Right now, it's not on the table, and it doesn't see any kind of change. Some people say that since the negotiation regarding the Iranian nuclear agreement has been stopped, maybe it's time to add or tie this negotiation into other topics, such as the women rights, such as human rights altogether, freedom of movement, and so on, because this is something that goes as a thread throughout the Iranian regime activities. And you cannot or should not take it separately or address it separately. And since the sanctions that are being piled on Iran are doing the same as the nuclear, as the human rights, and so on, maybe there should be some sort of a bigger package of negotiation about the Iranian willingness to open to the West.
What about Israel? We've heard from Israeli officials over the past year that they are preparing to strike Iranian nuclear facilities because the Iranians continue to enrich uranium at levels well beyond the agreement, much closer to the material needed to create a nuclear bomb. Where do the Israelis stand in all of this? Are they continuing to act unilaterally against the Iranians?
Yes, and it seems that in recent weeks, the rhetoric has become more and more intense. They are willing to admit some high-ranking officials, security officials, and even the Israeli chief of staff, the outgoing chief of staff, has admitted that the Israeli army has targeted an Iranian envoy inside Syria that were bringing weapons into Syria and toward Hezbollah and in Lebanon. But we have to figure out and understand that right now, when we're talking, the older Israeli government is going to step down, and the new and Prime Minister Netanyahu is going to step up again as Prime Minister in the coming days. And he was more hawkish than former Prime Ministers Lapid and Bennett. So, and the Iranian issue, let's say, was one of his most prominent issues that he has addressed, especially with the United States. He was the one who supported and maybe encouraged President Trump to withdraw from the 2015 nuclear agreement. And then we'll have to monitor what's going to happen in the coming, say, weeks or so. Israel has signaled the world that if push comes to shove, there will always have Plan B. And in recent weeks, the Israeli Air Force has indicated they have been trying to practice all kinds of military drills along with the U.S. Air Force as well, that were simulating attacks on Iranian targets. And maybe some people hinted on Iranian targets within Iran, meaning nuclear facility. This is not going to be the first time that Israel has been doing it. It has done it in the past, but we're not 100% sure, and we'll have to monitor what's going to happen. It's not, as everything here in the Middle East, it's very complicated, and it will probably have all kinds of aftershocks with each decision.
Yonat Freeling, a senior Fox News field producer, joining us again on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition podcast. Yonat, thank you.
Thank you, Trey.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com.